Looking to transform your family game nights? At Perfectly Picked Games, we specialize in family games that bring everyone closer. Our games aren't just fun. Kids and teens will learn how to take turns, develop basic strategy skills, and understand the thrill of winning and grace of losing. With our exclusive gift of games, you can give months of gaming excitement to your family. Choose a 3-month or 6-month gift, and we'll deliver hand-picked family games to your doorstep every month. And here's the best part. Right now, you can use the promo code GOLDENMOJO and receive 20% off your selected plan. Don't miss out on this exclusive offer. Use promo code GOLDENMOJO and save 20% today at Perfectly Picked Games.
Welcome to the United States of Paranormal Podcast. Sit down and buckle up for an enlightening ride through everything cryptid, creepy, and paranormal.
Hello, all of my paranormal freaks out there. It is I, Golden Jay, hanging out with
the Rocker Chick
and
J-Dub.
This is the United States of Paranormal.
Celestial Stag. Oh my God.
Right out the gate.
I had to.
It's all good. I love it. I'm sure Mason loves it too. Listen, I don't know what he does with that every week that you say it.
That's fine.
Well, we don't know what anybody would do with Rocker Chick's feet pictures, so that's on them.
I was thinking about that today, her feet pictures. I wonder if I could just get a picture of her feet and then put it on a t-shirt. Hmm. What do you think?
Maybe.
I mean, that would be an interesting t-shirt, would it not?
Yeah.
What would we entitle that t-shirt? Rocker Chick's feet, or walk a mile in the Rocker Chick's shoes. We could do
P-A-R-A of feet.
Yes! That's perfect.
P-A-R-A of feet.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I like it. I like that. There it is.
Write that down. Somebody write that down.
Because I'll forget about it.
Yeah, whiteboard. Oh, I hope everybody's been having a good week out there. You know, we're starting to roll into March. Mm. And, you know, it's kind of that down month, isn't it? You know, it's kind of like there's not really anything going on. I know for us, all three of us, we're kind of jonesing to get back into the camping world. And I know J-Dub is getting ready to start her new campground this year, where you'll be spending lots more time with us. We got to figure out how to utilize that time to our best advantage.
Yeah. What? No, no taking videos of how stupid I am. You have enough of those.
I did send that to Mason. He got a kick out of you.
Being an idiot?
Acting the gen. That's the nice thing is, you know, I get to enjoy our listeners, you know, everybody who emails us or IMs us or stuff like that. I feel like I've made good friends out there. And Mason and Larissa are absolutely a couple of them that I interact with a lot. And I so much appreciate them and all that they do. So, of course, me and Mason were IMing about the Super Bowl a little bit. And he is definitely not a fan of one of my favorite players, Travis Kelce. So
there's not a lot of Travis Kelce fans out there anymore.
Not right now. Yeah, yeah. Now that he's...
Yeah, everybody thinks he's an ass.
Well, he kind of did act like an ass during the Super Bowl a little bit.
Well, you never know what's going on. I mean, you see things, but you don't know.
It's
you
true.
Don't know. I mean, Andy we all
said
could
he
be
was
an
like
ass.
Almost falling over, and Travis held him up. That's, you know, it's you just don't know. So
there you go. There's
it's like you walk into a room into somebody's conversation and you instantly think they're talking about you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's how you see it.
How you,
everybody sees things differently. So
it is, but most people are always talking about me when I walk into a room.
Everybody can be an ass. Everybody can be an ass.
Yep.
On a certain days, Jeremy is an ass.
We all have one. We all can be one.
That's right.
I'm never an ass. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, listen, we all get a little stressed out, and we all get a little bit... sometimes the world can be just a little bit too much.
I agree.
So it's pretty crazy. But yeah, I do appreciate our listeners and everybody who's reached out to us. And which brings me to a listener email.
Ooh, about time.
Yay. I know. I've been talking to you guys about this for a few days. And I'm happy to finally
able to tell us what it is.
Yeah.
Jerk. Yeah. Holding it over our heads for like a week.
Yeah.
Just kind of sucks. Excuse me.
I've been trying to like get like free merchandise out of you guys. Like, oh, if you don't tell me, I'm not going to read the email to you. No. Go buy me a Mountain Dew.
Or your bougie water.
You love my bougie water.
Oh, jeez.
Listen, so just before I get this email, now that you bring this up, I love what they call, I call it Wakanda water. It's it's some Hawaiian name. It's in a blue bottle, and you could only get it out in the Kansas City area. And my buddy Andy would always bring me back some for special events. Like if I was playing the Families Helping Families concert, he'd always make sure that I had a cooler full of this particular water. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I call it Wakanda water, but it's from the volcano in Hawaii.
Bougie water.
Bougie. Well, it has made its way to Indiana, baby. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
It comes out of somebody's tap.
Shush.
Like somewhere.
Shush your fucking mouth.
It's probably toilet water.
Oh, yeah. Just a little tin of blue in there.
No, I can taste the volcanic ash in it. That's what makes it so wonderful.
Yeah, he's like, you want to try it? And I was like, it's water.
It's water, yeah.
No.
Nothing special about it. It is you pay more
for
it.
It comes from a volcano!
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you anything.
So, I found it at the Speedway. And so I always buy a couple bottles when I'm in there.
It's probably like $5 a bottle.
It might be.
Oy.
It's not $5 a bottle. It's only $3.
I get the 99-cent bottle.
I just buy a case of Meyer 40-pack.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's do this. I want this email now.
Now. Okay. All right. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do it.
It says, "Dear here," and this is why you listen, people, because Jeremy's an idiot. It says, "Dear Tusop, my name is Kane. I started following you guys sometimes back in 2023 and been catching up starting with episode number 1. I know it's been some time since Golden Jay has mentioned this, but I am fully supportive of a studio treehouse. He has my vote." I thought I can end the email right there. That's
no.
just perfect.
No, keep going.
Okay. "You guys are my favorite podcast. By the way, happy 100th episode." Aww. Thank you, Kane. "I will be honest. One thing that always cheers me up from this podcast is hearing one of Logan's banters with either Matt or Bose. I love how much they rag on each other. You guys have helped me through a rough relationship breakup, and I truly appreciate you guys doing this podcast. I'm currently listening to episode 37. I can't wait to get caught up. This podcast is up my alley because I enjoy investigating the paranormal. Oh, by the way, just so Golden Jay isn't the only one that does this to Logan. Logan, if you're reading this, shine bright like a diamond."
Oh.
"But anyways, I just wanted to show a little appreciation to all you guys, not just Team Boozer, but also Team Tejas. So thank you for being who you guys are, and thank you for giving me something to laugh about and something positive to pull me out of my depression I've been going through. At one point, I'd love to be able to sit in on the pod with you guys, not so much to speak, but to feel like I wouldn't do so well. But I would love, I would like one day to be able to meet everyone. What's ironic is at the time of the writing this email, Golden Jay is talking about Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum located in West Virginia, which is where I live. West Virginia is not the lunatic asylum. Just wanted to be, he just wanted to be extra clear. Sorry. Anyways, you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. Best wishes, with best regards, King.
Nice. Very nice.
Listen, this is important to me because I understand depression. I understand feeling low. Mm-hmm. And I immediately emailed him back, and we've been talking back and forth a little bit. And, you know, just trying to give him some positive reinforcement that, you know, the things that he's got going on in his life, it'll be okay. It always works itself out. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, we're rooting for you, buddy. And, you know, hang in there and get after it. And the things that have gone wrong, you know, some things you have control over, some things you don't. But don't let it define who you are. And, you know, like I said, Team Boogers is rooting for you. So,
yep, definitely.
Definitely, he's coming on. I've got him scheduled a little bit later in the year because of all the things we got going on. He's just going to kind of set in like Larissa did, you know, just okay. Kind of hang out. We'll get a chance to meet him face to face. And, yeah, we're looking forward to it. So
cool.
But, yeah, thank you. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate the email.
Definitely.
So that is our email. And that's, you know, my feeling on that. And, of course, I think this one of the most important things I really take away is that I have another vote for a studio treehouse.
Yeah.
And? That just goes to show that our banter is appreciated as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, speaking of banter, if you don't like the banter, check the show notes. I type it in there every week. You know where the actual story starts.
Yeah. So
if you don't want to listen to us, that's okay. We love talking to each other and love talking to a lot of our listeners. So,
and a lot of our listeners love listening to our banter.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Once again, I want to thank Brad for coming on last week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That guy's got stories. Holy mm-hmm. shit. That's pretty amazing.
We probably could do like a all-day podcast with his stories.
Yeah, I don't think we even like scraped the surface mm-mm, of some no. of the things he does. So, has done. So, what an amazing interview with him last week. Hope you guys enjoyed it. I know we enjoyed doing it. So, yeah. Also, as we're catching up, the first of Meet the Podcast Host came out mm-hmm. This last month in February, where you got to meet the rocker chick.
The rocker chick, really?
How did you feel about after all that and listening back to it?
You know, you guys are going to have it easy because now you know what the questions are. I did not know what the questions were, so some of my answers came out, and then, you know, I've had, you know,
time to think
10
about
minutes
him.
To think about it while Logan's talking about something else. And I'm like, shit, I would answer that differently. Or shit, I would have, you know, today I was even thinking, I could have answered this.
What would you have
that.
Answered differently? Like, what was your
like favorite
food?
Snack? Yeah.
Yeah.
What the hell did I say Cheetos for? I could have said like wasabi peas or, you know, something I actually eat. I don't eat Cheetos that often, but it was the first thing that popped in my head, you know.
Well, just, it was a random fire. So, I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Just.
Yeah. He did say whatever first popped into your mind. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And
she was just hungry for Cheetos right then.
Was.
There wasn't even any Cheetos in the studio at that time. So I don't know where it came from.
I don't know. But yeah, there's just. Random things I would have changed, you know, if I would have had, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you about the one random thing that I would have changed.
Oh no!
What's that?
We never lived at Winona Lake, Logan. But, we lived at Huffman Lake.
I didn't say it. I agreed with him. I didn't even hear Winona. I just heard lake.
They're all the same.
They're all attached somehow. They run into each other.
So. Yeah, some creek or some creek somewhere.
Some park right somewhere runs into each of them. But. Not everybody's as perfect as Golden Jay.
Oh, you know, so I feel bad now. But I really should have went first.
It's okay.
I do so many podcasts.
I'd be the guinea pig.
I do so many podcasts, and I've done interviews before. If anybody missed it, if you go back to Golden Image Podcast, the Golden Odyssey series, I had Frankie Vegas from Golden 80s interview me for the Golden Odyssey. You know, it was something that he wanted to take on, and I wanted to get his chops into something like that, you know, because he is such a new podcaster. It's kind of like the Brad thing with J-Dub. I wanted her to do a majority of the interview because I want her to get her chops in there because we have more interviews coming up. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to kind of hand that off to you or even to you if you got somebody that you want to interview to kind of get that feel for how that works. And I love interviewing people. It's one of my favorite fucking things because people are interesting. And they're even more interesting when you have them one-on-one like we had with Brad.
Yeah.
And he was amazing. Like I said, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And we definitely would love to work with him again on another one.
Mm-hmm.
Or even, you know, maybe we might get invited to go on maybe his podcast one of these days.
Yeah.
So that would be totally awesome, too. So, but anyways, as we talk about this email from Kane, I have a... Let me ask you this.
Oh,
this is deep, and I don't know. I don't even know. I am.
We're getting in our feelings in this one.
I mean, you can, or you can just be like, "That's a stupid question." But I mean, I think it can be in depth if you think about it for a second.
All right.
What? This sounds so fucking generic, even coming out of my mouth. But what is the meaning of life? What is the meaning of your guys' life? Why are you here? What do you see for yourself? Why you or all of us are here? What do you think? I know it's a thinker for a second, isn't it? I don't even know that I have an answer for this.
Okay. J-Dub here. If you didn't know that. If you didn't know, J-Dub here. I didn't realize this, and I'm going to get a little bit into, like, you know, my health stuff. So, but not a lot of people know this, but here you go, guys. You're going to know now. So I didn't realize this until, like, I had my first round with ovarian cancer. And then I got into this really deep depression where I hated everything. There was no reason why I should even be here. You know, I had this great support system, but I didn't feel like I was being supported. And getting away from what I loved, like my horses and my friends and stuff. And then I know it's going to sound kind of dumb, or I don't know, not dumb, but one morning I just woke up and I said, you know what, this is not going to be how I live the rest of my life. And I did all my treatments, went into remission, and started coming out of all of that, getting back into the horses and back with my friends. And then it hit the second time, cancer was back. So I had a whole complete hysterectomy, and I went back in that dark place. And actually, I'm not a church-going person. I mean, I believe in God, and I love God, and, I swear a lot, but He still loves me. And my mom had me go to church with her one day, and it happened to be, why do bad things happen to good people? and what is the meaning, like, why do these things happen? And it just hit me that it's like the before, this is not how I'm going to live. And I always said, if cancer ever came back, I'm not going to do all the treatments and all this other stuff, because I wanted to have a not prolong, you know, the quality of life at the time would be more important than me being sick all the time. After that day, and I told myself again, this is not how I'm going to live, I have tried to be so much more compassionate towards people, try to be more like level-headed towards people and open-minded towards what people, you know, other people around me. Like if I see somebody sitting by themselves at a restaurant, I absolutely hate that. And I want to go sit with them, or I'll want to pay for their dinner or whatever they're doing. If I see like somebody is upset or they're acting different than they normally do, and I'm like, hey, what's wrong? Let me know. Here, talk to me. Like, there's somebody that we know that's going through a divorce, and they just keep putting themselves down. And I just try to be that positivity for in their lives. So I know that's now. I understand that. So I am here to try to make others' lives better.
Hey,
I think.
Good answer.
I like
good
that.
Answer.
How about you?
I don't know. I guess, how do I word it? I know you get aggravated with me because you don't think I listen, but I think it's because I listen to so many other people's issues and things during the day and have to try to work those out and make those people happy that when I come home, I'm kind of withdrawn from like listening. So I think that might be one of the reasons why I'm here, because I'm a good listener most of the time until my brain shuts off and won't let me do it anymore.
When a lot of times people don't have anybody to do that with, and you're their sounding board.
Yeah, so well, I listen and I try. If I have something to say that will help, I will say it. But most of the time, just listening to people helps.
Well, also, you're a problem solver, at least at work. I mean, you know, I try to present you with some things that I might need help with, and you're just like, you need to do what you need to do. But I mean, for you at work and in the position you're in, you are a problem solver, and that's why you are the sounding board for a lot of people's problems. Right. And I totally understand that. It's funny, you know, that you know, a lot, I think you can kind of take that in several different ways. And you know, I totally respect that you, when you come home, you need to shut down. You know, sometimes I wish you didn't, but I'm so busy doing other things that I, you know, I want you to shut down. I want you to, you know, kind of relax in the evenings and not worry about shit at home. So, although she still does worry about shit at home all the time, it doesn't help. My thing is, you know, the meaning of life is we're all here for some particular reason. And, you know, whether you take that as a religious thing or not, because it's always been told to me that you know, God will keep you here long enough to do what you were intended to do. And it's always interesting to me to know that I'm still alive, because apparently I have not done what I'm supposed to do. So I try to find it along the way. And I'm not always the greatest at it, by any means, you know. Same. To try and help other people, you know, because I am sometimes wrapped up in my own stuff. But when you get an email like you get from Kane, you know, it's like, you know, he listens to the pod, and it, you know, it makes me feel good. And that's why I was held on to, I'm going to kind of get your guys' feel on that, that somebody that we don't know, here we are, helping them, you know, get through the day, put a smile on their face, even if it's for one fucking hour a week, you know, least he's got a smile on his
face. And that's why, you know, I mean, some people listen to podcasts just to learn things, but a lot of people do it to get their minds off of other things, you know. Mm-hmm. So
They have that break from reality.
But my big thing that I've been working on, and I've talked about this before, I've been working on it for years, is to try to stay positive and, you know, have positivity in a lot of things. And the person that you talked about a little bit ago, you know, is really a focal point of mine when I'm with that person now, of always, you know, focus on yourself. Things are going to be fine. Quit. Stop putting yourself down. It's not worth it. Just stop, because you're demeaning yourself, and it doesn't need to be that way. And, you know, we have a lot of fun with this person.
Mm-hmm.
And
great person.
Yeah. And it's just tough to try to stay positive like that. But, you know, that's what we work for, to stay positive. Let's break this fucking negativity that is every fucking where.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much negativity. And, you know, we feel it a lot right now. And I know this sounds stupid, but, you know, me and the Rocket Chick have been Chiefs fans for 30 plus years. We have not had what we have now. And with everything it has combined into what has made their success and everything that's in the media, so much negativity with the people involved, whether it be, you know, this guy and his girlfriend, or, you know, the referees make mistakes, or whatever the case may be. You know, we've been dealing with all this negativity, and it's tough, and it makes us want to shut down too. We, you know, we have to listen to all these people bitch about whatever is going on, which we have no control over. Like, we're supposed to know and have the answers, and it's like, you just trying to stay positive.
Yeah, it's like that with anything. I mean, it's not just football and who you like or whatever. It's
everything. Yeah, it's the, you can turn the fucking news on and there's so much negativity out there, and so on and so forth. So this has been the United States of Paranormals Coffee Talk,
and we're here for you guys. If you want to talk, just let us know. Email us or say, hey, I want to talk to Rocker Chick about something, because she can probably solve my problem. Or J-Dub, you have, you know, health issues in your background and I'm experiencing this stuff. I need somebody to talk to. We will be here to listen and talk to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Always.
Yeah. We're just normal people just like you. And
I put on my socks both feet at a time, just like normal people. No, we love our listeners, and we're here for you if you need us. And, you know, I feel like we learned some things from J-Dub today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm still here, though.
Still rocking it out.
Mm-hmm. I have a friend that just went through all that.
And yeah.
Yeah. So.
It's insane. We need to get to our story.
Yes, first. Okay. Are you ready?
I'm so ready for your story today.
Okay, so you know how everybody talks about like paranormal experiences happen more when they start renovating a house?
Yes.
Well, you know, at my old house, we started renovating and shit got crazier and crazier. So I went and I looked up a whole bunch of stories from actual people having experiences when they've been renovating houses.
Ooh.
So these are, I'm going to read these to you guys. They are actual stories from people's personal experiences.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah. Some of them are crazy.
I love that.
All right. So this first one is called The Barefoot Boy. The person that submitted this was Ruth Ann Dixon from Old Washington, Ohio. When I first encountered spirits in my own home, I was unnerved and also doubtful of my sanity. After all, if I were crazy enough to tackle a third restoration project in 9 years, then maybe I could be crazy in other ways as well.
Hmm.
However, time and an open mind have helped me accept and enjoy these little meetings between the past and the present. Now, a home would never really be a home without these unexplainables. In August 1979, we moved into a three-story 1857 brick Victorian to begin our third and most ambitious restoration. The structure had been built as a gracious home for a state senator and then served as a doctor's home and an office, a school superintendent's house, a restaurant, and finally for 25 years as a nursing home. It stood unattended for 2 years before we purchased it. Needless to say, there was a great deal to be done. However, by September of 1979, we considered ourselves fortunate to have repaired the roof and furnace, replaced missing windows, and installed a working kitchen. Over the weekend, we had ripped out a containment wall surrounding the curved mahogany staircase in the front hallways.
Did they open it up so it's all like an open concept on the stairway? Nice.
That particular morning, my husband had gone to the next town where he taught school, and I was half-heartedly contemplating painting one of the 15-foot-high ceilings when the phone rang. Oh, wait. Yeah. As I told my college friend of our progress on the phone, I noticed the chandelier flashing on and off through the transom over the door leading into the formal parlor. I commented to her about the odd occurrence, wondering about the competency of the electrician who had recently inspected and approved all the wiring. That's an old house.
Yeah.
I mean, wiring would be one thing, yeah. She, however, began to worry that someone had come in through one of the 8 exterior doors and was playing a nasty trick on me. Nothing would calm her except that I immediately go to investigate, while she listened in case something truly disastrous was happening. As luck would have it, the closest doorway was blocked with ladders and tools. Therefore, I took a different route through the dining room into the added room and down the front hall. My two schnauzers trotted along, one on either side, as I entered the hallway. Suddenly, the door between the hall and the parlor literally flew open, as if a gust of wind had pushed it. Both dogs began to whimper and back up as very distinct, heavy footsteps came towards us. There was positively nothing to be seen, and I searched my mind for a logical explanation as the dogs turned tail and deserted me. Rude. Then all logical thoughts left me in an icy air, as an icy air encircled me and the footsteps continued past me to die at the doorway. I just used. I was very shaken, but I did carefully inspect the parlor. All windows were sealed tight and all the lights were off. Those would be some heavy footsteps.
Yeah.
Especially in one of those old houses. For several days, I was the victim of my husband's and friends' teasing about ghosts and strange noises. In fact, I was beginning to believe I'd been the victim of my own overactive imagination. When both my husband and I were awakened in the pre-dawn by an explosive sound of shattering glass. Not a small tinkling, but a massive crash. With visions of tree limbs coming through our 14-foot windows on the first floor, we raced down only to find everything exactly as it should be. Then we ran back to the second floor to inspect the windows and antique mirrors, and finally to the third floor, where once again, everything was intact. In the daylight, we explored the yard around the house and finally the street for broken glass. In cautious questioning, we determined that no one else in the town heard a thing. Since that time, we experienced the same phenomenon 2 or 3 times a year and have yet to find a reason for it. It's because you're renovating. The footsteps in the front hall continued until we removed the room that was added to the rear of it and restored the door that hung there originally. We then found ourselves listening to what had become over the months an almost pleasant sound. But upon completion of the former parlor, we found a new friend who liked to serenade us with soft tunes.
Oh.
If what we have since discovered is true, then perhaps the senator who built the house is back playing his beloved harpsichord as he once did for his family and friends in that very room. Perhaps the most memorable and least explainable experience during our residence was my encounter with the barefoot boy. Once again, I'd been painting, a never-ending task, it seems.
Mm-hmm.
After an extended period of time, I began to wonder what had become of my husband, who had gone to the basement for just a minute. In all honesty, I disliked the basement area immensely. With its eerily trickling spring, which was a Victorian luxury, a mausoleum-like silence. I loathed the thought of anyone being there for more than a few minutes. As I rounded the corner into the kitchen, a startled boy of about 8 stood looking at me. He was clad in a too large grayish shirt and faded coveralls and had bare feet, wet feet. I gasped, and he picked up an unusually cumbersome lantern and began backing toward the outside door. As he backed, he also began to fade. Fade is the only word that describes what happened to him. At that exact moment, my husband burst into the kitchen carrying a rusted lantern he had unearthed in the basement. It was identical to the one the boy had been carrying. Later, a museum curator identified it as the type of hanging oil lantern often found in churches or meeting halls, but seldom carried, as it was awkward to handle and easily blown out. We can find no explanation for it being buried in the basement, unless, of course, some little boy did it a century ago. Living in a town founded in 1803, where most of the buildings were erected between that time and 1900, ours is not the only home with unseen guests. And once you learn to accept these glimpses into the past as a rare favor, life in an old house becomes so much more delightful.
Wow, that's crazy that the boy would appear and he had just found that.
It's almost like the boy was like, hey, you found my lantern.
Yeah, bye.
Yeah, see ya. Scare the shit out of you. I'm out. I did my thing.
Did they, I wonder, I know you don't know, but I mean, I wonder if they excavated any more down there to see if maybe the boy was buried there.
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't, with each one of these, I tried to see if I couldn't like Google it and find more on it, right. But it really wasn't. It was just this and then it was done.
Right. That was a good one though. That's a lot.
Yeah. And I can seriously like, when she's walking around trying to figure out why the lights are going off, I could hear the wood floors, you know, the old wood floors and the foot, walking by her.
You get that creak or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. All righty. This one's called Charles and Jolene Colombo from Petaluma, California submitted it. It's been a while since we've heard from Charles. Friends tell us it's because he's happy now that his home is restored to its former glory. Charles fell backwards off the huge 11-foot retaining wall that holds up our 1892 Queen Anne. He was a prominent dentist and got quite a write-up in the local newspaper as he lingered for 7 days. Dr. Charles O. Perkins crossed over the River of Death on August 17, 1901.
That's a way to say it, isn't
it? Yeah. We bought the house in 1976, and it was in a very bad, very sad state. It had 5 apartments and was on the border of being condemned. Charles soon made himself known. On a night when the house was empty of its tenants, he made a noisy debut. The kitchen stove legs rattled, the closet door opened and closed, the lights went on and off, his actual presence was felt in the room, and my husband, Richard, was cut off repeatedly as he frantically telephoned a friend. With all this commotion going on, Richard made a rapid exit. Her husband's like, I'm out.
Yeah, done. Done.
I'm going to make this call from the payphone down the street.
Yeah. The next day, at the suggestion of a friend, Richard read a Reader's Digest article about ghosts, particularly poltergeists. He returned with renewed spirits and hoped to communicate with Charles. Charles was a bit tamer after that. For a period of 3 years, we heard Charles literally bumping around the house. Occasionally, something would fly across the room. Throughout this time, neither Richard nor I felt fear, only curiosity. The only variance in bumps and bangs occurred one stormy night. I heard an intense conversation between a man and woman going on outside my bedroom door. I couldn't make out any specific words, but I felt it was a serious matter they were discussing. When I went out into the hall, the talking stopped. When I went back into my bedroom, it started again. The conversation seemed to come up high under the skylight of our staircase. I repeatedly looked out and up in the hall and found nothing. Again, my main sensation was curiosity, not fear. I felt very safe. As we have restored our Victorian, taking out the awful apartments, rewiring, re-roofing, plumbing, landscaping, scraping, painting, and wallpapering, Charles has disappeared into the woodwork. When people ask us how he is, we say, fine, knowing that he probably is. His beautiful home, which he had built so long ago, is a landmark in our town. We really miss him and hope to meet again another time, another place.
Wow. So he's basically just kind of, he was just kind of there, not really.
He was probably pissed off that they broke it up into all those apartments.
Right.
Yeah. Beautiful house like that.
He wanted it to be back the way.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that was his crossover moment, was the house was back.
He's like, it looks beautiful, guys. I'm leaving. Peace.
I gotta go.
All right. So this one's called Gertrude. And Roberta Schwimmer from Olmsted Falls, Ohio, submitted this.
Ohio.
My house is a rather plain example of the Queen Anne style. Built in 1903 by a practical man who gave it very few flourishes. However, it remains almost unchanged and so authentic that it has been a delight to restore. Before we moved in, we only had to give it a good cleaning. We planned to live around our restoration projects. The first unexplainable occurrence came during one of those early days of heavy-duty cleaning. I was in the cellar sweeping up the stucco particles that had fallen from the sandstone walls and coughing from the soot that had accumulated from years of burning coal. I was completely absorbed in my task and unaware that we had worked almost through the night. My husband, Terry, was washing walls on the first floor. It was the shrillness of his voice calling for me that caused me to rush upstairs. He was in the sitting room off the parlor. He had been on a ladder washing the ceiling fixture when a soft voice, one that he mistook for mine, had spoken his name. He said the voice had come from directly behind him, almost at the level of his ear, which would have been pretty high up.
Mm-hmm.
While I had been down a flight of stairs and working in a far corner of the cellar. We were both very tired and decided to leave our chores until the next day. Before we left our apartment, I went upstairs to take a quick look at the little bedroom. We had fixed it up and furnished it before any other, just so that one room would seem homey in the chaos of moving. I found the ruffled curtains, braided rug, and antique furniture very assuring, and I took the time to straighten the crazy quilt on the bed before I left. A crazy quilt. We didn't return until late into the next afternoon. As Terry carried in cartons, I went upstairs to set my prettiest house plants around the little bedroom. The crazy quilt, smoothed 10 hours earlier, was rumpled, and the pillow bore the indentation of a sleeper's head. To be very truthful, I was delighted at the thought of owning a haunted house. It was going to make terrific conversation at the housewarming. The sitting room where the voice was heard temporarily became an antique shop. About 5 years later, the shop had closed, and I found myself living here alone. Aww. I moved my bedroom to that room as I didn't like sleeping upstairs anymore. We hadn't decorated or papered the sitting room because it had been a constantly changing arrangement of furniture, pictures, periods, and designs. It was dingy without the clutter, and my beautiful Victorian bedroom set made it look that much worse by comparison. I didn't sleep very well the first few weeks. My mother came to spend the holidays with me. We shared my bed and slept without a problem. Two nights after she left, I awakened from the restless sleep that I'd become used to and saw the figure of a woman approaching me from the end of my bed. She was slender and appeared taller than she was, as her hair was piled up and fluffed. She wore a long, loose-fitting dress with no color this time.
Oh, there you go.
And her face was plain and expressionless. My reaction was not that of a cool scientific observer, as I always imagined it would be. All I felt was absolute terror. I called out, "Mother, Mother," in confusion, as though it were her and nothing else. I did manage to look away to check on my dogs. They were sleeping on my bed as usual. I even reached out to touch the nearest, and the physical contact with his fur proved to me that I was really awake. But neither he nor the other dog was sharing my experience, as many authorities say they are supposed to. The figure glided rather than walked as it came forward. It even seemed to pass partially through the footboard of my bed as though it did not exist for it. Meanwhile, I kept repeating, "Mother, Mother," over and over like a frightened child until the apparition dissolved at the door leading to the parlor. You.
That doesn't sound like a very good time.
No.
Although, I will say this. I mean, I have thought that I had Ozzy in my bed and he hasn't been there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. That's just being asleep and dreaming. Yeah.
You do a lot of weird shit in your sleep.
Like locked bathroom doors.
Yeah. I sensed its presence one more time a few nights later, but would not open my eyes to see if it was there. I decided that sleeping upstairs wasn't so bad after all, and the sitting room became my TV room, now cheerfully papered and furnished with the only furniture in the house that is not antique. Nothing has disturbed me since. In 1981, I began to look into the background of my house. I spoke with neighbors and relatives of the original builder. A surviving daughter of the family that lived there until 1945 was kind enough to correspond with me. She even sent me photos from her family album. One picture, taken in 1916, was of her sister, Gertrude. She went to South Dakota shortly after it was taken and died there, giving birth to a son. The boy was sent back to Ohio to live with his grandparents. His grandfather was the depot sergeant for Penn Central. The boy went to work for the railroad too, but was killed when still a young man in a freak accident. He was a switchman and was run down by a train while changing the track, about 30 miles from here on the same tracks that I can see from my windows. He slept on an old iron bed, one which I thought had belonged to the people from whom we purchased the house, but which actually has been against the wall in the little bedroom upstairs for at least 60 years.
Oh, wow.
His mother and I have met. I wonder if Gertrude was wearing the same loose summer dress as in her picture on the night she paid me a visit.
Hmm.
So she thinks that his mom is the lady that has been in. So yeah, there's that one.
But she wasn't sleeping on the iron frame bed.
No, but it was in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. This one's called Billy.
Billy.
Charles W. Nelson from Minneapolis, Minnesota submitted this one, or I found this one. We stumbled on a listing for an imposing Victorian in the old Highland area of North Minneapolis. The real estate agent informed us that the house was occupied by the builder's descendant, a widow in her mid-80s. Special arrangements were required to show the house. She would only allow it to be shown after dark. That's weird.
That is weird.
The evening of the showing arrived, and we rang the doorbell. It seemed like forever until the door was opened by a very little elderly lady who received us with an air of formality and pride, apologizing for the fact that the house did not look at its best, but to us, the dimly lit entry hall with its winding oak staircase and 20-foot ceilings was all we needed to fall in love with the old house. God, those houses are so pretty. The closing went according to schedule. We signed what seemed to be a ream of documents and then handed over the check. It was ours. We would take possession on the last day of the month, October 31st.
Oh, no.
Now, we are not superstitious folk, but always believed in not tempting fate. That night, we experienced a full-scale thunderstorm that blew the covers off the traps in the basement sewer lines, shooting murky water high into the air. We had no trick-or-treaters that night. For some reason, the neighborhood children avoided the house even during the day. I felt that the way to gain entry into the neighborhood is through its children. The house had a new owner now, and I'd find out their thoughts on the house. Everyone I questioned said it was a haunted house. I could not agree more with the vivid imagination of young minds. It was a strange old house occupied by an old lady who lived in the servants' quarters and never had lights on in the front rooms. We would change all that. There was one thing that seemed rather strange, which surfaced in our conversations with the owner during our visits prior to closing. She constantly referred to someone named Billy. We later found out that Billy was her son, a war veteran who had met a tragic death in the house. It was obvious that in her mind, Billy was still a resident of the house because she referred to him in the present tense. We didn't realize how much he was in the present tense until after we took up residency. Within a week, marbles, the old pre-cat eye variety, began to appear. They were always found in the center of the rugs or traffic patterns so as to be quite obvious. We did not bring any marbles with us when we moved in, and we brought most of the rugs with us. We did not then have two cats, so we couldn't blame these strange occurrences on them. At the same time, small dirty handprints began to appear on the back hall stairway, which, as if a small child was making his way from the back door up to the bathroom on the second floor. Washing these handprints from the wall did very little, as they reappeared the next day. A variety of small items appeared, including Billy's military dog tags, a cookie cutter with the name Billy scratched on it, merit badges, and a number of Catholic holy cards inscribed to Billy from nuns at the parish school a couple blocks away. In all, nearly 100 marbles made their appearance over a period of 2 years until, when investigating a corner of the attic tower, we found a cloth marble bag with a few pre-cat eye marbles in it. The collection we had amassed, then added to the bag, filled it to the top with no room to spare. No more marbles appeared from that time on.
So they gave him back his marbles.
Mm-hmm. He was taking marbles out of his bag, and then they found the bag and gave him back.
Nice.
Other visits from Billy are worthy of comment. His presence could be felt in the form of a cold spot, often encountered without warning, both in the library and in the upstairs sewing room that had served as his bedroom, also where he died. On several occasions, doors would slam and the sound of small feet would be heard running in the upstairs hallway towards the back stairs. One evening, the drawers in the upstairs linen closet opened and closed with such a racket that one would wonder if someone was throwing a temper tantrum looking for a misplaced item. The most spectacular performance occurred when a 9-foot-high pocket door, which had been jammed into the wall off its track, slid from the wall into the closed position. It has worked perfectly ever since.
He fixed it.
Mm-hmm. He's like, here you go. Although most of the activity took place during the first 2 years we lived in the house, it usually coincided with projects such as moving furniture or redecorating. It appeared as if Billy wanted to let us know that he knew what we were doing to his house. Almost 10 years after we moved into the fine old Victorian, we finally put the finishing touches into wallpapering the last room. It was the eve of the day of the assumption, a Catholic holy day. And that day we received a holy card and a medal. It was Billy's last visit. Nothing more has appeared to remind us of his presence. Billy's mother has also passed away. We have related the stories about Billy to friends and those interested in spiritual presences. Interestingly, we have not been the only ones to receive a visit from Billy. Friends and family staying overnight or living with us for an extended period have reported encounters with him and have found souvenirs left in their paths as well. Overall, Billy never did anyone harm, although we often had the feeling that he was looking over our shoulders. After all, it was his house. He had grown up there and died there. We've been told that Billy was a phenomenon known as psychic teleportation and that he manifested himself through the strong will of his mother. No changes have been made to the house since its construction. We were the first to threaten the status quo, a cause of concern for Billy and his mother. Billy left us when he was finally satisfied we would do no harm to his house. Okay, this one is called Mr. Price. Joanne M. Smith from Elkhart, Indiana.
Oh.
I bought a lovely 1916 bungalow in Pomona. Leaded glass, beautiful woodwork, and a newly remodeled kitchen. But it had as many as 8 coats of faded, torn wallpaper. The bathroom was a mess of 50s remuddling, and the yard was as overgrown as Sleeping Beauty's castle. For me, it was perfect. I didn't know until after I had bought it that 8 families had moved in and out in the past 5 years. The reason why was clear to me on my first days of occupancy. My daughter and son-in-law had helped me move and spent the night in my bedroom while I crashed on the couch in the den. Over breakfast, she began to scold me for getting up and hanging pictures in the middle of the night. When I told her I hadn't gotten out of bed, she laughed with an, "Aw, Mom, I heard you pounding nails." Later in the day, alone, I passed my open bedroom door, and standing in the doorway with his hand on the door was an old man, about 70, over 6 feet tall, with salt and pepper hair, wearing a plaid flannel shirt and bibbed overalls. I saw him clearly, but knew he wasn't real. Then he vanished like someone had erased him from the bottom up. For some reason, I wasn't frightened. Over the next 2 years, Mr. Price, as I found out was his name, made life miserable for a half dozen people in my home. One son-in-law refused to be in the house alone, even in broad daylight. A young lady who house sat for me one vacation was angry I hadn't told her about him. The sound of boxes crashing off the closet shelves kept her awake, and the closet door, which stuck and was hard to open, swung freely back and forth. There was never anything out of place in the closet or anywhere else. Although we were treated to the most awful crashing sounds, the sound of the huge ceiling fan smashing through the glass top of the dining room table would send everyone running into the dining room, only to discover that it was still securely fastened to the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a loud crash.
Yeah, it would.
That was a favorite trick of his. He also made the sound of a cast iron kettle dropping from a height of 6 or 8 feet. Oh, that'd be loud.
Mm-hmm.
Every night for weeks, I came home to find my soap in the bathroom tub floating in a couple inches of water. Living alone, I started to speak to Mr. Price out loud, feeling like a fool. I said, "Don't do that. Soap's expensive." The soap stopped. One night after going to bed, I felt someone lift the blankets. I sat straight up in bed and shouted, "That's too close. Get away." It never happened again. See, that's all you gotta do. It seems that Mr. Price, when flesh and blood, lived in the house next door. He died January 1st, 1971, of suicide.
Hmm.
My neighbor told me about Mr. Price after I started asking odd questions. I asked if she knew what he looked like. She didn't, but said she'd found out from the other neighbors who'd known him. That night, she bolted into my house and said she was told that Mr. Price was a tall man, a farmer type, who always wore bib overalls. Then I told her what I'd seen in the doorway. She said he had been a carpenter. In fact, he had built a scaffold in the garage, which he had hanged himself. Jesus. That explained the pounding sounds. She also told me that sometimes when I was away for the weekend, they would hear furious hammering like a berserk carpenter coming from my home for up to 2 hours. She also admitted that they too were being visited by Mr. Price, who had a habit of being light-fingered with her husband's tools until the afternoon her husband went into the garage and had a talk with Mr. Price about leaving his tools alone. To my knowledge, I was the only person who actually saw Mr. Price, unless you count the afternoon where my 4-year-old grandson, after being punished by his mother, said he was going back into the back bedroom to play with the grandfather.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Price's visits became less and less frequent as the remodeling on my home neared completion. I guess he was happy with the job I was doing and finally stopped coming altogether. I have since moved back to Indiana and am currently remodeling and restoring a 1926 beauty. But you know what? I miss Mr. Price.
Well, it's good when you get.
It sounded like he was easy to get along with.
Yeah, and he wasn't doing anything. He was just making noises. And
well, he tried to crawl into bed with her.
Well, hey, he needed a little something. I don't know.
He needed a little something.
He just wanted to be close to her.
Yeah.
He just needed a cuddle.
She was being nice to him, and yeah, he's like, hey.
He wanted a cuddle buddy.
Been sleeping with himself for years. He wanted somebody to sleep by.
Maybe it was cold.
You always get the wrong.
Get the wrong what?
Idea when I say something.
Never.
I have the wrong idea.
Yeah. Yep. You think so? Mm-hmm. So what is the right idea?
He just wanted to, yeah.
My actual initial thought was that was probably his bedroom and he was going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought it was anything beyond that until you were like, he just needs a little something. How am I supposed to think about that after you say that?
I don't know.
Wow, those stories are great.
Yeah, those are good.
I liked them.
It's interesting because the majority of them, I mean, once the remodel started reaching the end, and on several of those stories, they left.
Yep.
I mean, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. There was something that came up on Facebook the other day. There's some house down in Kokomo that's for sale. There's like a $1 million house that is like, they got it up for sale for like $300,000.
Because Kokomo's a dying town.
Well, that's true too, but this house is outdated. This is a 50s house. Oh, 100%. Have you seen it?
I think I've seen it,
it's
yeah.
It's got like a pool or indoor pool or whatever, but everybody's all like, oh, we should go buy that and, you know, and reno it and, you know, do all that. And the first thing I started looking at these pictures of this house and I was like, nope, fuck that. That place is haunted.
Yeah.
There ain't no doubt in my mind that fucking place is haunted. And there's a reason it's $300,000.
Yeah. Like, as soon as I saw that giant walk-in closet, is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
I was like, somebody died in there.
Oh.
As soon as I saw it, I was like, somebody died in there. Nope.
Just, you got that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The house itself on the outside, to look at it, is beautiful. Mm-hmm. But once you walk inside, it's like, oh, God. What? Who made these choices?
You spend $300,000, but you're going to be spending $1 million to,
to update it. Absolutely, but you went through it, and we've talked about it. Mm-hmm. You know, once you start renoing, that's when the shit gets real.
And maybe if we had finished the renos, like he would have left.
You never
Who knows,
know.
But yeah. I couldn't chance it.
No, not at the point you guys were at that point. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh. All right. Nicely done.
That was long. Sorry, guys.
I liked it.
It was good. I enjoyed it. Sorry we didn't really comment on it. I mean, it was just like we were taking in these whole stories. So
it was a little different. I was like, you know, I always talk about, you know, hotels or whatever. And then I was like, I want to do something different.
No, I want you guys to do things different. I mean, stretch out and find new things. And I was thinking about that this week as we get into this, you know, we've kind of done a lot of these patchwork stories, you know. I'm very fond of telling different ghost stories from states and stuff like that. And I'm like, my next one needs to be a story. So hopefully I can find something that's worthy of bringing it on. So, you know, the Rocker Chick's done a couple roads lately, but they've been really good stories, mm-hmm. you know, about what goes on in these places. And so, yeah, I do want to attempt to try picking a state and then going head to head. Do you guys want to give that a whirl?
Yeah, we could do that.
You want to pick a state? I was going
to. Arkansas.
Want to do Arkansas? Arkansas?
Sure.
All right. So our next get together, or probably not our next episode, but one coming up here in the near future, we are going to go head to head to head to find the creepiest story from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I really don't like that state, so.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll find something that you like down there now.
Maybe.
All right.
Maybe if I investigate something, yeah.
All right.
Like, we got to go to Arkansas.
We got to do Arkansas. All right. There you go. Coming up, we're going to go head to head, and our listeners need to email us and let us know which one is the spookiest.
Yeah.
Because we will fight that ours is the spookiest. Mine's going to be the best. I'm just saying right now.
No, mine is.
All right, guys. We better wrap this up so we can get J-Dub home.
I feed ponies.
Got to get out and give a little love to those horses.
Mm-hmm.
And check for bright lights in the sky.
Shut it. Shut. No. No. It's not even funny.
I know. But, well, it is, actually.
No,
but
it's not.
I love that Brad saw weird lights in the sky after one of your investigations you did with him. That's just weird.
Yeah. No thanks.
In case you missed that in our last episode. All right, guys, thank you for hanging out with us here at the United States of Paranormal. And remember, we're here for you.
Yes, always.
So let us know how we're doing, the United States of Paranormal @gmail.com. All right, keep it spooky. I'll see you on the other side.
Bye. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the United States of Paranormal. Check us out at theunitedstatesofparanormal.com. or at any other of our social media pages. At Twitter, at TOSOPPOD. At Instagram, at the United States of Paranormal. Or Facebook, at the United States of Paranormal. Or YouTube, at the United States of Paranormal 1795.
Please check out our other podcasts in the Golden Mojo Entertainment Network. The Call Guys, Golden Image Podcast, Indiana Chiefs Fans, The Golden 80s, Murd Nerds, and A Court of Books and Booze.
And if you have a location you would like us to check into or a creepy story that you would love to tell us, please email us at theunitedstatesofparanormal@gmail.com. Please like, rate, and subscribe wherever you listen.